I'm sure I speak for President Binkley and for all members of the seminary family when I give a hearty Christian welcome to all of our visiting friends who are with us today as we observe Chaplain's Day. We at Southeastern every year look forward to this happy day when you come to be with us. We hope that each and every one of you will feel at home here. We're particularly happy, of course, to see some of our own alumni who are returning. We welcome you doubly, and we're also very happy to see new friends and to meet them, both men and women. It is a distinct pleasure and privilege to cooperate with the Chaplain's Commission of the Home Mission Board each year, as this program is given to all of us by the Home Mission Board, Chaplain's Commission, under the direction of Dr. George Cummins. It is a joy to work with Dr. Cummins in this regard, and we are so happy to have him as he is with us today, and we ask him to take charge of the service at this time. Brother George.
Thank you, Dr. Whalen. It's always a privilege to come here to Southeastern, and happy this morning to present this program to you. We hope all of you that can to be in these conferences. We begin again at 11 o'clock, and then this afternoon, 2 to 3, and then also 3:25 to 4:50, our adjournment time. We'll be happy to have the chaplain candidates, their guests, their wives, members of the administrative staff and faculty and their wives as our guests this evening for dinner in the cafeteria. So you come along with us and enjoy this fellowship. Also, we would like to let you know that we'll be in the conference rooms for interviews of those that are interested in the chaplaincy. In the Appleby Building Research Field Room and the conference room on your left as you go up into the little small chapel for interviews of those that are concerned and interested in the chaplaincy. We're very fortunate at all times to have as many as we do have interested and concerned about the chaplaincy. We deal with over 1,600 Southern Baptist ministers around the world who are interested, concerned with, and dealing directly with the chaplaincy. Add one wife to each chaplain, we have more missionaries than the Home Mission Board or the Foreign Mission Board from the standpoint of missionaries with the chaplaincy at this particular time. We're happy to have Chaplain Cecil Etheridge, Secretary of Institutional and Industrial Chaplaincy, to come and read our scripture and offer our prayer. And then following that, Rear Admiral Chaplain Floyd Dreith, Chief of the Navy Chaplaincy. Chaplain Dreith will soon finish some 28 years in the Navy Chaplaincy, be retiring. He's a Lutheran faith, and he's always been a very fine, outstanding chaplain and a friend to us in the standpoint of the Navy chaplaincy. We're happy to have him here with us this morning to bring our message after Chaplain Etheridge comes and reads the scripture and has the morning prayer.
The selected scripture is Psalms chapter 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Will you bow with me as we pray together? We thank thee always, our Father, for thy word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank thee that in the very call that thou hast extended to us, that it is indeed a call to be responsible stewards. We thank thee for even knowing that as we are sent to those who are in need, that they are our neighbor. that as we serve them, we give of ourselves, our resources, our inner strengths and abilities, sharing with them even that which thou hast given as a gift to us. But as we serve, may we so give, placing no restrictions, making no demands, and imposing no limitations. We would serve freely, asking really nothing in return, but that in assisting them so to recover and so to find and so to live, that then indeed we will have served thee well. Bless him who comes to speak to our need. Guide him through the ministry of thy Holy Spirit, even for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an old Chinese parable which is told something along this order. It appears there was a young man who embarked upon a sacred quest and went to a wise man and asked him what he needed. The wise man told him, "You will need a gleam in your eye," and he gave it to him. The man continued on his quest and determined that he was getting nowhere, so he went to a second wise man and he said, "I'm on a sacred quest. I have a gleam in my eye. What need I yet?" The second wise man said, "You need a sword in your, or you need a voice in your ear," and he gave that to him. He continued to wander aimlessly and finally sought out a third wise man, and he said, "I'm on a sacred quest. I have a gleam in my eye and a voice in my ear. What lack I?" He said, "You need a sword in your hand," and he gave him that. And he continued his aimless wanderings and finally sought out a fourth wise man, and he said, "I am on a sacred quest. I have a gleam in my eye, a voice in my ear, and a sword in my hand. What need I yet?" The fourth wise man said, "You need a song in your heart," and he gave him that. And it was only when he was thus equipped that his quest was successful. Let us use this as a framework to meditate upon our own needs. Now, I'm addressing my comments particularly to the theological students. I trust that others, my fellow chaplains and others, will not be too bored. We need today a gleam in our eye. What is this? A cause. Something that will inspire us to aspire to the noblest and best that is within us and to enable us to endeavor to reach mountaintops that are always just beyond our reach. An enthusiasm for our cause that is not dependent upon prestige or monetary reward or the recognition of our fellow men. Certainly, you and I are engaged in such a calling. One that appeals to us, we have dedicated or are dedicating ourselves to the service of Almighty God, to serve Him without fear or favor and without thought of temporary, earthly, or material rewards. And my young friends, students, if at any time you feel that this is not God's purpose for you in life, if you begin to lack this enthusiasm even in the days of your preparation, for our Lord's sake, for the sake of His kingdom, and for the sake of the people to whom you may be called to minister in the future, resign now and seek some other calling. I mean this earnestly, because I have seen in my own denomination young men who prepared themselves for the ministry solely because their parents insisted upon it, or who, after they had come to the seminary, felt that somehow or other this was not the calling for them. And they didn't have the courage to quit and enter some other field of endeavor for fear of criticism unjust criticism on the part of others in the ministry or the congregation back home. And today they are time servers, going through the motion, lacking that enthusiasm, that vim, and that vigor, without which even God Almighty's powers are tested to bring forth any blessing. A gleam in your eye, go forward with it, and even though it may become dimmed from time to time through disappointments and disillusionment, on bended knee in prayer, the Lord will rekindle it. We need more than a gleam in our eye. We need a voice in our ear. There are many voices clamoring for our attention today. There's the voice of selfishness, of course. What's in it for me? How is this going to promote my career? Will this add luster to my name? These are all natural human voices, to be sure. And in spite of our noble and high calling, we too are troubled with them, and we hear them all too often. I'm reminded during World War II, a Navy aviator was sent down to San Diego to ferry a plane up to Alameda in the San Francisco Bay Area. It was a routine flight, and after he took off and gained the required altitude and set the plane, he put on the automatic pilot, leaned back, lit a cigar, and turned on the radio to a commercial chain, a civilian outlet, and enjoyed the good music. Then as he neared his destination, he turned over to the channel that he should have been monitoring all the time, only to find out that for an hour they had been frantically trying to reach him, to tell him that the whole Bay Area was socked in, he couldn't possibly land, and that he should turn and go back to San Diego. By this time, however, he did not carry enough fuel to enable him to make the return flight. He was vectored out over the Pacific Ocean, bailed out. Fortunately, a Coast Guard cutter picked him up, but a plane costing several $100,000 was lost at sea, all because he was not listening to the proper voice. Now, there is one voice to which you and I have to be attuned at all times, and that is to the voice of Almighty God, as he speaks to us from his Holy Scripture. And if we make that our voice through all of our waking moments and pray God that it may interrupt our dreams as well, then we can go forward confidently, knowing that without fear or favor, without seeking or expecting human approbation, we are nevertheless attuned to his voice and following his directions. Then we need also, having a gleam in our eye and a voice in our ears, we need also a sword in our hand. Now, a sword, of course, is used for many things. Originally, it was an instrument of combat. But it also is used symbolically in order to divide. To divide things from right and wrong. There was a time when, generally speaking, throughout America, things were either white or black. Now, it seems, we have huge gray areas where they can be either right or wrong. The youth of America today is not so much concerned whether something is right or wrong. They want to know whether it's legal or illegal, and that word illegal does not refer to a sick bird. Better still, they want to know whether they can get away with it. Now, we don't have to glance at the newspapers more than once a day. We find contained in there all kinds of reports of crime, depredations, robbery, murder, rape, and the like. According to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, there is one murder committed every 44 minutes, every 24 hours of the day, 365 days of the year in these United States of America. And the figures on robberies, burglaries, assaults, rapes are astronomical. But we say to ourselves, these are the juvenile delinquents, the criminal element, and the like. And we'll always have those. Like the poor, they'll always be with us. However, I think you and I would consider ourselves amongst the more respectable and responsible citizens of America. And certainly people who stay at places like the Statler Hotels, that has a chain throughout the country, are not considered delinquents or criminals. They're the decent, respectable citizens of America. That being the case, perhaps this report will be of interest to you. The Statler Hotel chain reports, and I quote, "Most of the glass consumption is actually broken," the chain says. "But the 200,000 face towels the company loses in a typical year are mainly stolen by guests. So are 67,000 bath towels, the 62,000 pillowcases, the 43,000 bed sheets, the 3,200 blankets, and the 2,900 bedspreads." Some people carry large suitcases. "And 13,500 tablecloths, and the biggest loss of all, 340,000 napkins." By the respectable, the decent people of these United States of America, the type of people who can afford to and frequent Statler hotels. What then becomes your responsibility and mine? That it's high time that we use this sword in our hand, the sword of God's word, and particularly the sword of God's law, and declare things either right or wrong, not on the basis of the laws of the land, but on the basis of God's immutable law. The youth of America is looking for just such a pronouncement. They do not want to hear from you what you think or what you suppose. I probably shouldn't say this to Southern Baptists, because it's been my observation that the clergy of the Southern Baptist Church have always been very positive in their pronouncements, even in the areas in which I disagree with them. But this is something the youth of America wants today. They don't want somebody to get up in the pulpit and say something along this order. Gentlemen, I'm deeply disturbed to have to inform you that unless you repent in a measure and be converted, as it were, you will, I regret to say, be damned to a certain extent. This makes absolutely no impression at all. The youth of America today wants a clergyman to have a sword in his hand, and to speak not just from the mouth, but from the heart, and to speak it in such a fashion that they instinctively know that this is something that he will live by, and God forbid, if need be, will die for. Unless we carry that sword in our hand, we would be as ineffective as if we were shooting feathers at the Viet Cong in South Vietnam. But you need more than that. Having a gleam in your eye, a voice in your ear, and a sword in your hand, finally you need a song in your heart. We're living in troublesome times. As we look into the future, from the President of these United States on down, we see no ready solution to the peace of the world and our own tranquility. There are dark clouds on the horizon in every direction that you look. There's the constant fear of a nuclear holocaust, which can easily destroy the vast majority of the peoples of the world and leave others maimed and crippled for the rest of their earthly lives. And so there's a sense of fear and trepidation that we find throughout the land. Gentlemen, you and I have no cause to join in that. We can be disturbed, yes, but not from the heart. We can take preventive measures. God Almighty wants us to use such intelligence and ability and energy as He has blessed us, with which He has blessed us, in order to preserve and protect life. But fear never. I care not how dark the clouds may be. And even when the birds no longer sing and the flowers have lost their fragrance for you, and you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, and fear each morning with, or face each morning with fear and trepidation, then lift up your head, because you have this promise that your God goes there before you, and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be waiting in every tomorrow to lift you up, to strengthen you, to sustain you, and when that time comes, to welcome you to the house prepared for you in eternal glory. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let us face each tomorrow with a song in our heart with our eyes held high and a smile upon our lips and a gleam within our eye, so that others seeing us may say, he must know and believe something that I don't know, and I want to find what it is. He must have meat that I know not of. Oh God, grant that each of us may go forth here this morning and through all the remainder of our earthly lives with a gleam in our eye, a voice in our ear, a sword in our hand, and a song in our heart. Amen. Let us rise for the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen.